My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. He was not only a general, but also the Deputy Commanding General for the Pacific. And it's that expertise we want to draw on for at least part of our interview today as we get his reaction to North Korea apparently successfully firing a rocket that also seems to have launched a satellite. And we also want to get his insights on the latest unrest in Syria. And General, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Let's start with North Korea. And as I mentioned, you've certainly got expertise in the region. We've seen these rocket tests before. Some have been embarrassing failures. Others have performed a little better. This one, at least at first blush, seems to have done what it was intended to do and drew some concern from the White House and so forth. What do you read into this, and what message do you think the North Koreans are trying to send?
Well, I think it's a continuance of their missile development program, you know, which they've shared, of course, with China and even Russia and Iran to a great degree. So it's a very active program. This appears to be a very successful launch. They worked out some of the difficulties and discrepancies from their last launch, which was not a success. But they are a power over there to be reckoned with. Fortunately, we've got our Pacific Fleet out there, and then we have the very strong South Korean forces there, along with maybe 25,000-30,000 Americans still there bases. So then you got a very active Japanese Army armed forces that's watching North Korea very closely. But certainly they're a proxy of China. Everything that they do, China knows about, and basically supports in what they're doing. So they like to sound the bugles and beat the drums every once in a while so everybody in the world knows they're alive over there, at least some degree. Of course, one of the poorest nations in the world, the tragedy is they take that money and put it into the missile program when they should be helping their people. But that's the way it is with a tyrannical government.
What do you fear more, General, of them actually using this missile technology that seems to be getting more credible, as well as nuclear weapons on their neighbors, or the proliferation to other nations, as we saw with the Syrians not long ago?
Well, I think it's two things. Number one, it allows, again, them as a proxy of China to show that they have advanced technology, that they can, in fact, influence things in the Middle East. You know, they've had Iranians back and forth to North Korea and vice versa. So they're very much intertwined in the nuclear proliferation missile programs.
What in the world is the American policy towards North Korea right now, and what do you think it should be?
Well, you know, we've been over there since the early 50s, and the policy, of course, even under Bush and under Clinton before, was, let's go meet them at the table and let's talk this thing out. Of course, the North Koreans know that we're pretty much a paper tiger anymore when it comes to having any threats like North Korea. You know that, and they're very effective psychologically. They have an advantage, and they use it. So it's trying to influence basically the international community that they can stand up and be a missile power and develop nuclear weapons. But at the same time, the West is very weak when it comes to standing up to a lot of these threats today, in my opinion, including our government, which really, coming back from over in the Middle East, you know, we just have no credibility anymore. So we've lost our status in the world.
So the one-sentence version of that response is we're probably not going to do much of anything about this?
Exactly.
You mentioned the Middle East. You mentioned your trip to the Turkish border with Syria, and obviously the Syrian situation has gotten more significant. The United States now recognizing the opposition, although it's still not completely clear what the opposition is. Some sources seem to suggest that al-Qaeda plays a major role in that opposition. At the same time, there's ongoing reports that the Assad regime is on the brink of using chemical weapons. So what did you learn on your trip that shed some additional light onto the crisis over there?
Well, I was requested to come over as part of the Syrian opposition liaison group at the request of the Free Syrian Army. So I flew from London to Istanbul to Hatay province, Antakya, which is right on the Syrian border. I met with 50 commanders who crossed the border to meet me in Antakya, and then another 25 came to Istanbul to meet me. Nine of those were Syrian generals, high-level generals that worked for Assad, who defected and now control the Free Syrian Army, which controls about 65% of the opposition forces. But you have other groups that are being supported of the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as a small number of al-Qaeda forces that have come in. So you've got a number of groups over there, Islamist radicals, but you also have members of the Free Syrian Army who are looking for freedom and looking for a future Syria. Assad will fall. The information I got from the Syrian generals that he'll either be evacuated with his family to Russia or probably most likely to Iran.
Any timetable on that?
I would say the regime gets weaker every day. The opposition forces are attacking the airfields. International flights have been shortened, and some will not even go into Damascus anymore. The Free Syrian Army are hitting the airfields, but you have a number of aircraft each and every day coming in from Tehran, bringing arms and weapons into the Assad regime, trying to prop it up. So I would say, the next 30, 60 days, Assad probably will fall. He'll take refuge in the Alawite district, which is on the coast near a city called Latakia. The future of Syria is in the hands of many coming, a lot of money coming out of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, really to support the Muslim Brotherhood and not the Free Syrian Army. So we need to understand that there is a group of very dedicated people over there who have defected. And most of their arms from the Free Syrian Army are coming from the captured weapons of the National Syrian Army and Armed Forces.
General, obviously you've been consulting with these folks. Take us inside this coalition, for lack of a better term. Do we have a lot to fear of some of the more radical elements in there, or do you think the people that you met with are going to be the ones to take over when and if Assad finally goes?
Well, I felt very comfortable with the commanders that I met with. They're not Islamist or radicals. They, matter of fact, detest Hezbollah. They detest al-Qaeda. They're very educated people, these individuals I met with. Most of them, Greg, in their 40s. Some of the generals, of course, in their 50s and 60s. And one of the generals is the Air Force general that flew out the jet, I think it was into Lebanon several years ago. So they're very dedicated. They need our support. We don't have to put troops on the ground, but we need to support them in some ways with some weapon system so that they can do the job. If not, the Muslim Brotherhood will continue to cause problems and take over just like they're causing in Egypt.
So you're confident that they will be able to take control when the time comes?
Well, they need our support. Their cities and towns, Aleppo, they're being bombed by bunker buster type of bombs that the Russians have supplied the Syrian army. And it's over 40,000 killed. Assad is intentionally bombing hospitals and villages to kill the people. Hundreds of thousands, I guess over 200,000 refugees now are in camps on the Turkish border and in Jordan. So, to me, Syria is very important. I got word yesterday one of the reasons that Qatar and Saudi Arabia are supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, because if they can, in fact, take over like they've taken over in Egypt, they can control a whole new pipeline across Syria into the Mediterranean and near the port of Tartus and Latakia. And that has not been exposed yet. This is the first time I've exposed that as your show today. So that's new information.
Well, we appreciate you giving us that scoop. And the general, last question, the folks that you met with, how concerned are they about the possible use of WMD?
Well, that was part of the meeting. Very concerned. They wanted us to be able to try to supply them from a humanitarian basis, chemical weapons. They do have observation teams out that are watching the chemical sites where they're located. They know they've been moved several times. These are chemical and biological weapons. But the Free Syrian Army does have observation teams that are watching everything they do. The key thing is if it's released in missiles or rockets, the sarin gas specifically, or by air, they really don't have a lot to defend themselves without the chemical and biological suits. So anyhow, it's they're in a very serious position over there in the Free Syrian Army and the rest of the civilians, because Assad is crazy enough, as one of the defected colonels who worked on the staff of Assad, that it's never been announced either that he's bipolar. And they have to actually get him ready for any kind of a press conference. And then he goes back and he rants and raves. And as they said, he's crazier than Hitler. So what's that tell you?
Wow. General, we appreciate your unique insights very much today. And we'll certainly be watching and following up with you. Thank you for being with us.
Okay, Greg. Take care.
Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely, former Deputy Commanding General in the Pacific. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.